Take your Bibles and turn with me to John 17. John chapter 17. We are working our way through this great chapter. And man, it is good. I prepare for the service and I write these sermons and pray that God has anointed them and has filled me with what to say. And then I start looking over it and then I say, man, I'm never going to finish it. But it's taken us a little longer than I wanted it to get us through there. But nonetheless, we're still going to have fun while we study His Word. John 17, last week we looked at verse 12. Today we're going to look at verses 13. I intended for us to go to 13 to 19, but we probably won't. So we'll just look at 13 and 14. Would you please stand in honor of reading God's Word? John 17, beginning in verse 13. He says, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." Now notice that. My joy. Jesus says, I'm giving you my joy. Not your joy. Not just some superficial joy. Not happiness. Which goes against everything in our society. He says, I give you my joy. Verse 14. I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Heavenly Father, please speak in these next few minutes, God, and may we see in you we have everything we need to live the abundant, Christ-filled life in this world to make a difference for Jesus in your name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know, many of you are readers in this room. You love to read books, and you probably were like me. When I first got saved, one of the first books I ever read was John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress. Any of y'all ever read The Pilgrim's Progress? If you have not, let me encourage you to do this. Not only get The Pilgrim's Progress, get it in the kids' version. I've read it in the old English version, and it's not nearly as good as it is when it's got pictures, okay? And so anyway, but another book that I read early on in my Christian life was Mere Christianity. Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis. In that book, C.S. Lewis said this, "If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." C.S. Lewis said that if I find in my desires, in my lifetime, desires that really doesn't fit around what I'm living for now, then the only explanation is that I'm not made for this world. I was made for another world. Folks, there's an old gospel song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through." All right, so not only that, there's another song, Building 424 or something like that, a new contemporary song. They have a phrase that says, "Take this world and give me Jesus. Because I'm not where I belong. I'm not where I belong." And so when we study these next few passages, and especially next week as well, what I want us to see is this. We really are like a square peg trying to fit into a round hole in the world that we're living in. Folks, listen to me. If you're in here today and you fit in just fine with the world, and I know the majority of our elected officials and some of our servicemen, the majority of them will be in next service, but let me tell you what I want to say, and in 10:31 I want you to hear me. If you fit in and you go along just to get along, then evidently you haven't met the Jesus of the Bible. Because we're going to see today that he says that if you are of the Word, if you are filled with his Word and his joy, the world will hate you. The world will hate you. But why? Because listen to me, guys, we should stand out in this world. And I don't mean being weird, although the Bible does say you're to be a peculiar people, which means weird, but it doesn't mean weird in a way that turns people off from Jesus. It means that listen to me, my headset, my iTunes, my music, whatever I listen to, is set to a station of one from up high, from on high, from heaven, and I don't march to the beat of the drums that is playing on this earth. We're different. And so if Jesus hopes to reveal his glory through these he has given it to, they must know, listen, we must know, they must know, we must know, that we have his power, that we have his prayers. That's what we're doing. Those of you who are guests, we've been walking through John 17, longest recorded prayer in all of the Bible of our Lord Jesus. We've got to understand that he's praying for us. We've got to understand that he's going to be present with us. We've got to understand that we've got his power in us. And we've got to understand that we have his promises. And so he tells us this over in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Listen to this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of who? Through the knowledge of God. So the more I get to know God, the more I understand these things that I've been given to live in this life. Pastor, I want you to go deep. Pastor, I want to learn something. Let me tell you something. You will not learn anything. You may get it head knowledge, but it won't get into your heart to apply to your everyday life unless you get to know God more. And one of the ways you get to know God more is through the message, the love letter that he wrote you. And so he says this, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly and great precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. All right, Pastor, you don't understand what I am. I'm being bombarded. I want every student, 1031, every young person in this room, I want you to listen. You don't understand, Pastor. You don't understand the temptations. You don't understand the stuff that is out there these days. Yes, I do. And can I tell you, can I just be honest with you? There's nothing new. Peter wrote about it over 2,000 years ago. Let me tell you something. For these new temptations that you may face, get the old book. Stand on the Word of God. Get into it, man. It will help. You've got everything you need to live a godly life in this world. Everything you need. Why? Because Jesus is everything we need. He's all we need. And so that's number one. Somebody told me one time, they said every sermon ought to have at least one point, right? Amen, Jesus. And so my sermon, hey, we're getting out early. My sermon only has one point. All right, here we go. Jesus, listen. Everything we need, Jesus provides. I mean, we really could give the invitation right there, but I'm hard-headed. Everything we need, Jesus provides. Look what he says in verse 13. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Now joy. What's the first thing we have? What's the first thing that Jesus gives us to succeed in this life? To make it in this life, joy. We have his joy. Not happiness. Don't miss that. Not happiness. Happiness is based on what happens to you or me. It's happenstance. Happiness, if I walk outside today, and we rode the shuttle over this morning, which let me just throw a little plug in this morning. We need more people to park over at Remington's and ride the shuttle. Can I get a witness? All right. Anyway, here we go. So watch. We rode the shuttle. Why? Because I want to give up my spot for somebody to be able to park in. A guest that comes in. Listen, we ought to call that the kingdom parking lot, because we're giving up space so people can come and hear the gospel and be born again into the kingdom. So watch. So I gave up my parking spot. Well, so if I get on the shuttle today, drive, me and PK rode over together, if we ride back over to the thing and we get out and I go up and every tire on my truck is flat, I'm not going to be happy. But I'll still be joyful. Because see, my joy is not based on what happens to me. It's based on, listen, who's inside me and what's been given to me. A lot of people can be happy when things are going their way. Do you know Jerry Vine said that a Christian has no right to be unkind? Can I tell you somewhere where an unkind word ought to not ever be spoken is when you're coming to God's house? And yet we can get so filled with the evil spirit that we will just get, we'll get to complaining. I'm telling you, sometimes I want to stand up to some people, I want to talk to them, and I want to say, I'm sorry, Israelites, I didn't know that you were part of Moses' bunch. Because all they do is murmur. I'm like, come on, man. Listen to me. Is it stealing your joy? No. Then get over it. So joy is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Joy is a gift from the Holy Spirit. You see some believers walking around all day and they just got these old frowns on their face. And I don't mean, listen, I'm not speaking an Osteen theology this morning. I don't mean walk around smiling, oh, it's your best life now. If this is your best life now, you're going to go to hell when you die. My best life is yet to come, amen? But my point is this, guys, listen to me. My point is this. If I have joy, then even when there's a death of a loved one, even when there's a medical report that doesn't come out the way I wanted it, even when there's something financially that goes wrong, even when there's something personally that goes wrong, or in my family, if I have joy, nothing can steal that. Why? Listen to me. Why? Because it was given to me by my Father. It was given to me by God. Nehemiah was fighting hell itself to rebuild the walls. And in Nehemiah 8:10, he said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. How can you make it, Pastor? How can you make it when things are just piling in on top of you? How can you make it? Because I'm telling you, and when it does happen, because some of you right now, you're facing some stuff. You're facing some stuff right now that you feel like you're about to crack. You feel like you're about to just literally just collapse and just faint because of how hard it is on you right now. When you face those things, you better not be going off of happenstance. You better be filled with His Spirit and know that if you're filled with His Spirit, you've got all of the fruit of the Spirit. And you ought to dig deep and find that joy. Listen, find that joy. Adrian Rogers used to say this. Add up everything money can't buy and death can't take away. And that's how rich you know you are. Death can't take my joy. Listen to me. It can't steal my joy. Circumstances can't steal my joy. Why? Because my joy was given to me by God Almighty. And I realize this is not where I'm going to remain. If I was going to remain down here, it would be one thing. But I'm not going to remain down here. My desires are for another world. So evidently, I'm not from around here. The joy He gives does not mean we will escape tribulation and hostility. The joy, it is not founded on immediate circumstances, but on the eternal purposes of God. I mean, a lot of people say, man, I tell you what, he says, in this world, you will have tribulation. Some people say, boy, I tell you what, why, man? I wish the moment I got saved, he'd have just, poof, I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, somebody would have said, where did Chad go? August 5th, 97, 1:41 p.m., pulled a truck off the side of the road. Lord, I need you. Boom, he took me on. I mean, that'd solve a lot of temptation problems, wouldn't it? But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He started it and he'll finish it. For who the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Listen, if you want to know, oh, Pastor, I want to know the joy of Jesus. You were the joy of Jesus. Satisfying His Father was the joy of Jesus. And He looked to the cross with joy. He looked to the cross with joy because He knew. Listen, He knew that you would believe. He knew that His Father would say, well done. He knew. And He endured the cross. He endured the cross. I want to get... We are not to depend on outward circumstances, but on inward spiritual resources, listen, that were hidden from the world. That were hidden from the world. You see, my joy is hidden from the world. In other words, the world can't take it away. The world cannot take my joy away. Therefore, listen, I've got to depend on. Peter says that I'm in love with someone that I've never seen. Having not seen, yet you love. And so to make it in this world, I've got to remember that I have His joy. Number two. To make it in this world, everything we need, Jesus provided. We have His joy, and then we have His word. We have His word. Listen to what it says in verse 14. I have given them your word. I have given them your word. Now, you got to hear me out for these next 15 minutes. When we're faithful to the word that Jesus has given us, when we're faithful to the word that Jesus has given us, what happens? And the world has hated them because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Guys, it's amazing, Pastor Travis, that we're preaching this passage today when we have so many public servants in our service today. So many of those. Because here's the deal. In the spirit of compromise, even some believers will give in because they don't want to be hated. I'm telling you, if you are a believer, the world, I don't mean the world that God created. I mean the worldly system that hasn't bowed to the authority of the lordship of Jesus Christ. The world will act with hostility towards you. And so I want you to hear me today. I think it was the first or second sermon that I preached here. I can't remember. But after the service, a gentleman came up and had issues with my sermon. I mean, he even called the office the next day. But here's what he said. Listen, here's what he said. He came up, and I was preaching out of Romans chapter 9. And here's what he said to me. He came up, he said, I have issues with what Paul said. To which I said, praise God. Because normally, if I stand up and preach, somebody's going to come up and say, I've got issues with what you said. But for the first time ever in my ministry, they got it right. And they said, I got issues with what Paul said. To which I said, take it up with Paul. I didn't write it, you know. I'm repeating Paul, man. I didn't write it. And so, but hear me. When we stand and preach and teach God's word, I want you to listen to what D.A. Carson said. Listen to what D.A. Carson said. Preachers must want the proclamation of God's word to be a time when the people of God know that they have met with the living God. Did you hear that? If all you do in this room is say, oh, I heard Pastor Chad today. Oh, man, Pastor Chad was on fire. Man, he offended me. He did this. No, my goal is for you to walk out of here knowing that you've heard God's word and that you know you met with a living God. Many of you read Oswald Chambers. If you read this past week, listen to February the 12th. February the 12th, listen to what he said. It's Exodus 20, verse 19. They said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear. But let not God speak with us lest we die. So this is what they do. They were saying, Moses, we want you to speak to us. We don't want to hear from God. So listen to what he says. You speak with us, but let not God speak with us. How little love we have for God by preferring to listen to his servants rather than to him. We like to listen to personal testimonies. Hey, it's amazing to me in some of my early churches that I pastored. I could stand up, boy, and say, hey, y'all come back tonight, man. Come back tonight. We're going to be walking through 1 Peter. And a quarter of the Sunday morning crowd came. But if I stood up and say, hey, we're going to have a fifth Sunday night singing, we'd pack it out. Why? Because we're living in the age of entertainment. You entertain me, I'll come. So listen to what he says. We show how little love we have for God by preferring to listen to his servants rather than him. We like to listen to personal testimonies, but we don't want God himself to speak to us. Why are we so terrified for God to speak to us? Listen to this statement. It is because we know that when God speaks, we must either do what he asks or servant or tell him we will not obey. So when God speaks this morning, many of you got to ask yourself this question. Am I going to obey him or not? Listen to what he says. But if it is simply one of God's servants speaking to us. See, last week, many people, total, we had 14 people raise their hands that said that they needed salvation. 7 came forward. Hear me. That doesn't mean, though, the rest of them, if they really raised their hand and prayed and asked Jesus to save them, he didn't save them. But we, But you got to understand, Jesus says you need to make me public. You can't keep me in secret. So you got to ask yourself the question today. Am I going to come because Pastor Chad wants me to? No. You want to come because God's drawing you to. Listen to what he says. But if it is simply one of God's servants speaking to us, we feel obedience is optional. Or if Pastor Chad's asking us to do and it's optional, we may or may not. Listen, not imperative. We respond by saying, well, that's only your own idea, even though I don't deny that what you said is probably God's truth. You see, my goal today is for you to hear God's word and not Chad's word. Yes, I'm his ambassador. Yes, I'm his mouthpiece. But God is speaking today. God, through his word, is speaking today. So, the word of God is the gift of God to us. And so the Father gave the Son, he gave the Son his word, and Jesus, in turn, he says, I have given them your word. Now listen to what the first century disciples did. They received it and they believed it. So here's my question to you. Have you received his word? And if you have, are you believing it? Are you being obedient? Listen to what John said over in John 3, verse 29. Because John the Baptist, remember, heaven went silent from Malachi to Matthew about 400 years. 400 years, heaven went off the air. There was no communication, no prophet of God speaking from Malachi, from the end of the Old Testament to the beginning of the New Testament. And then the next voice that we hear is this wild man walking around that everybody thought he was crazy. But listen to what it says in John 3, verse 29. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. All right, now that's us. We have the bride. But listen to what it says. But the friend of the bridegroom. Now, who is that? Got to pay attention, okay? That is Old Testament terminology. That is Old Testament theology. In other words, in the Old Testament. You see, dear friends, one of these days when we stand before Jesus at the marriage supper of the Lamb, only the church, you got to get this, only the church, those that have been filled with the Spirit after Pentecost, the Pentecost believers, those that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to fill our lives, we, the church age, we're the bride of Christ. The Old Testament saints, hey, they'll be there, but they won't be able, you got to understand, they won't be able to sing the song that we're going to be able to sing. You got to understand that. And so John the Baptist was an Old Testament saint who spilled over into New Testament time. He was able to see the coming of the bridegroom. So he says, I'm a friend of the bridegroom. I'm not a friend of the bridegroom. I'm the bride of the bridegroom, dear friends. Amen, Pastor. Who stands and hears him. So he's hearing his word. Great, who rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. Isn't that something? He said, man, because I have his word, I'm filled with joy. Because I'm filled with joy, because I have his word. They go straight together. Sometimes somebody said, where do you get your points, Pastor? From the Bible. We've got his joy and we have his word. He says, because of that, because I've got his joy and because I'm filled with his joy and because I have his word, he must increase and I must decrease. It gives you humility. Listen to what it says. He who comes from above is above all. And he who is on the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies. In other words, he's speaking on behalf of God because he is God. He says, he who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. Listen to verse 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. See, sometimes people think, man, when I die, I'm entering the everlasting life. No, the moment you get saved, you have everlasting life. Please hear me. The moment a person gets saved, they have everlasting life. But listen to what it says. And he who does not believe The Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. I've been talking about the cross over in John 17, 4. He says, I have finished the work that you have given me to do, the cross. His purpose for coming was to die, to be the substitutionary death for you and for me, to satisfy God's wrath. So when I got saved, I accepted what Christ took on Calvary's cross. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross, he absorbed, he drank the cup dry, all of God's wrath, he put it on himself, and he said, I'm taking this for you. I'm doing this for you, so you'll never have to experience it. So watch this. So when a person says this, I don't need Jesus. There's some of you in this room right now, you may be going on religion. Or your pride is keeping you in that pew. If you sit here today and say, I don't need Jesus. I don't need Jesus. I'm going to stand before God on my own. Now listen to me. The Bible says the wrath of God abides on you. Jesus took God's wrath for us. The psalmist also talked about it over in Psalm 19, 7 through 11. Go home and read that later. Psalm 19, 7 through 11. Man, the psalmist talked about how his word, remember, we're talking about his word. His word is pure. He said, man, it's sweeter than a honeycomb to my lips. And so he went on and on and on and on. So the present that God gave us is the word of God. The word of God. Now, listen to what he says over in, he keeps saying in verse 14. He says, I've given them your word. Now listen to what it says. And the world has hated them. And the world has hated them. Why? Why? I want everybody to pay attention. I'm almost done. I want you to pay attention. Why does the world hate us? Why is it that it's constantly, I mean, we're having to pass laws on whether or not marriage is for man and woman. Why is it that we're having to pass laws on whether or not a man or a woman is born a homosexual, which God says is an abomination? I mean, the world, and if we stand on truth, the world hates us. We're intolerant. If we stand on God's word, why is that? Listen to me. Because the word disapproves of so much of that the world embraces. Let me just run through some of them. And this is not an exhaustive list. It disapproves of the world's religions. I mean, we're seeing today, dear friends, we're seeing it all over the news today, where ISIS and all these different things, they're killing believers, they're killing this, but let something else happen. And it seems like that our president or others will stand and condemn everything other than evil. And the Bible teaches that in the latter days, they will call good evil and evil good. We are in the latter days. It disapproves of world religions. It denies its philosophies. It disregards its wisdom. The word disapproves of many ways to God. I'll never forget a long time ago, man, I showed a clip when I was pastoring in Louisiana of Oprah Winfrey showing a video and clearly saying, oh, there are many ways to God. There are many ways to God. Hey, are y'all listening to me? There are many ways to God, but only one way is the way of salvation. As a matter of fact, every world religion is on its way to God, except only Christianity. Listen, only having a personal relationship with Him is on its way to meet Him as Lord and Savior and will worship Him forever. Everybody else are on their way to God by judgment. He's going to be their judge on that day. Adultery. I mean, my goodness, we have no sense of respect anymore for the home. No sense of respect for one man, one woman for life. For homosexuality, lying, cheating, stealing, sin, and getting on and on and on and on. Listen to John 15. John 15, verse 18. John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So here we go. Man, we're like, I'm telling you, if I am of my Father, the world is going to hate me. Verse 19. If you were of the world would love its own. So you go along just to get along. And you want to compromise your beliefs. You want to compromise your ethics. You want to compromise all of these different things. You want to vote in a certain way that maybe will approve the killing of millions upon millions and millions of babies. You say, well, scientists say, well, listen to me, flip on scientists. The Word of God says something that's opposite of that. And he says, if you were of the world, if you were of the world, if you were of the world, it would have loved its own. Yet because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Gentlemen, at the Daily Journal, when I was at First Baptist Tupelo, it was during election time, and it was when our president and different people were, this subject of marriage was a hot topic, son. And it still is. But I can remember he came up and he kept talking about it. He said, man, I want to quote you. And here's what I told him. I had a relationship with him. I don't believe he was a believer. And so I was very kind to him. And he came to me a lot. Listen, you know what he told me? That's what he told me. And I still to this day don't know if it was a compliment. But he said, man, I tell you what. He said, I don't really like what you say a lot of the times. He said, but you always have something to say. But here's what I told him. He said, so what do you think about the president saying that and urging and coming pretty much outright condemning states and letting people know just how disappointed he is for saying, listen, for that they are for voting that marriage is between one woman and one man. Well, what do you think about that? And I said, well, I'll be honest with you. I want to let you know what God says about it. And I turned to my Bible in Genesis, turned over to Ephesians, and I said, God is pro-marriage. And God is not only pro-marriage, but he is pro-marriage for one man and one woman. I said, that is it, dear friends. And I said, Galen, he may watch this. I'm sorry. But anyway, I said, here's what I want you to know. Listen, I said, here's what I want you to know. I said, no one has any right to say anything other than the one who created it. And God created marriage, so God has the only vote. That's it. God has the only vote. And so what every politician in this room, every single believer, you've got to understand this morning. You've got to understand this. Am I going to stand on God's word? And if I do, I will be hated. You're going to, listen, no matter what Hollywood says, no matter what the White House says, it's what God's word says that will only matter, and that's it. So let me read this and I'm done. Jesus demonstrates his truth about the word in John 5. And there's too many verses in there. We'll pick up next week. But in John 3, listen to what he says in John 3. Because I got something I want to share with you. John 3, he says this. John 3, verse 3. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again. Unless he's born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. All right, now I want you to pay attention. What that means is simply this. Born from above. Remember, I'm not of this world. Paul said in Philippians that my citizenship is in heaven. Okay, if my citizenship is in heaven, where was it? You see, my citizenship was on its way to hell, dear friends. I was of this world. But then because I was born again from above, I was born from above, my citizenship is no longer here. My citizenship is in heaven. If that is the case, if being born again is the case, there's some consequences that goes with it. Matter of fact, I've got in my hand right here an article back on May 24th, 2011. Born again Christians have smaller brains. Let me tell you the gist of it. Let me tell you what it was saying. The gist is this. It's the hippo part of whatever it was. That's what made me laugh. Is the whatever part of the brain is. Many of you doctors in here are saying, oh yeah, I know right what it is. Basically what they're saying is this. Because we believe in such a narrow way and a narrow book, and our brain is actually shrinking. So there's one survey that comes out, scientific study that comes out and says that men and women, some men and women who are homosexuals, and listen to me, hear me. I'm not just picking on homosexuals. I've got a step cousin right now who is a girl. She's a girl, and she was married and beaten and in an abusive relationship and hated men. Therefore, she became a lesbian and had a girlfriend for about 10 years. But in her marriage, her daughter, listen to me, she had a daughter. So she had custody of the daughter. And the daughter got invited to Pine Lake Baptist Church for Vacation Bible School. The daughter heard the gospel. The daughter got saved. The mama then, along with a girlfriend, decided to come to the baptism. They heard the gospel. She got saved. She got saved. She ended it. Now she's married and has three more kids. You know why? Listen to me. Listen. You're not born that way. God would never allow anyone to be born an abomination to Him. God, listen, that is wrong. And so one scientific study says you're born that way. Then another scientific study says that because we believe in a narrow way, because of a certain condition of our religious beliefs, our mind is actually smaller and shrinking. So you know what my Bible says about that? It doesn't say anything about that we're going to have small brains or anything about that. But it does say this. It does say that the way to heaven is narrow. I would rather have a narrow brain on my way to a narrow road, on my way with a narrow Savior to a narrow heaven, than to be broad-minded on a broad way to a broad hell. Amen? All right, we got to close. So listen. We're going to do something different at the invitation. Here's the invitation. Last week, again, I'm in no way, please hear my heart. Oh God, I have prayed over how I'm going to do this. There's some of you who realized last week you needed to be saved. You know what's so great about that? Somebody was here last Sunday morning, came down at Jubilee, though, and got a life right, son. 75 years old, and we're baptizing her tonight. She said, if I hadn't come back, son, I felt like I was going to die. Some of you came back today because of last week. You were under so much conviction, and you may have even raised your hand. You may have even acknowledged in the pew that you needed Jesus. You needed Jesus. So here's what we're going to do. When I pray for you in just a moment, we're going to do something different. But this is the invitation to the believers right here. If you're saved in here today, could you leave here? Could you leave here almost not walking, but just floating out for the fact that He loves us so much that He gave us His joy? Because some of you are going to face some things tomorrow. Maybe even today, you're going to face some things, and it's going to be challenged. And let me tell you something. You've got to be connected to that vine and connected into that word. And when that happens, dig deep, dear friends, and understand, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. And then we've got His word. And if we'll stand on His word, even though if the world is against us, remember this, that's because we're not from here. You must be doing something right. You must be doing something right, and it is worth it when we stand before Him one day. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Here's what we're going to do. If you would say right now, Pastor, if I were to die right now, I do not know where I'm going to spend eternity. I do not know where I'm going to spend eternity. Last week I raised my hand and I acknowledged that I was lost. Or this morning, you're sitting there and you're saying, Pastor, I don't know if I died right now where I'm going to spend eternity. I don't know. I really don't know. Then here's the invitation for you. I'm going to pray this simple prayer. I'm going to base it out of Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, which simply paraphrase says, if you'll believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess Him with your mouth that He was raised from the dead, you'll be saved. That's all we're doing. That's what I'm going to lead you in, a sinner's prayer that says simply the Bible. We're going to pray the Word of God. If you know that today you need to be saved. So would you pray this with me? If you're in here today and you know you need to be saved, would you pray this? Just pray it to yourself. Pray it to yourself. Lord Jesus, I'm lost and I'm a sinner, but I want to be saved. I believe that You died for me. I believe You were buried. And I believe on the third day You got up from the dead. I believe You are alive. You're alive. I ask You now, Jesus, save me. Forgive me of my sins and take me to heaven when I die. With every head bowed and every eye closed, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. This is what's different. If you just prayed with me, and you're willing right now, the moment that we stand to our feet, if you're willing to get up out of your pew, go to the men in the balcony, if you're in the balcony, you're going to go to one of those in the stairwell, you're going to come down front. If you're willing to say, I prayed with the pastor, I gave my life to Jesus, and I want to make it known. Man, I want to make it known, whether you're a guest or a member. If you did that, no one's looking around, Would you simply raise your hand? Just slip your hand up. Amen. Amen. Just raise it up. Let me say amen. Praise God. You can put them down. Now listen, if you meant what you just prayed, if you really meant it, the moment we stand to our feet, I want you to get up out of your pew, and I want you to come take somebody by the hands down here, and here's all you got to do. I prayed with Pastor Chad. I gave my life to Jesus. Those of you who are believers, why don't you pray for him now? Why don't you praise God of the fact that you don't have to pray that, because you already did, and you're kept by the power of God. Heavenly Father, whether it's someone coming who needs to join this church in just a moment, whether it's someone who's coming because they need to be baptized, whether it's someone who's coming just to be prayed over, God, because we are a family and we're in this world, but we're not of it, and it gets tough, and we need encouragement, God. Maybe it's just to come get prayed over. Or maybe, God, for those four or five that I saw raise their hands, I pray, God, that they meant it when they prayed just a moment ago, and they're willing to come down and make public what they prayed in private, and we'll give you glory for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. As we stand, you come on right now.